Hi, everybody. This is Michelle, and it is January 7th, 2020. Can't believe it's 2020. 20, like 2020 vision. I love the resonance of that for our year. And this is our fourth call in the Practical Application series. So we are about halfway through our series. And Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to this beautiful new year. We're going to begin, as we always do, in Shavasana. So find a comfortable place to lie down if you can. And for this part, camera on or off, whatever is comfortable for you. If you are driving, please be safe. Please pull over. If you're not in a place where you can lie down, then you can do a seated meditation, which is a different experience, but a good experience to do if you're not able to lie down right now. Shavasana. It gathers the energy. It trains focus. It allows us to pause and take a breath, figure out what next to do. It allows us to actually be in the moment, which is what we need as entrepreneurs everywhere, where we use our words and everywhere that we interact and do and create our work and our lives. To begin, lie on the ground and... Sorry, I just needed to. I just realized my ringer was on. Turn your ringer off if it's on. Lie on the floor or the carpet or the ground. Lie on your back and be comfortable. Take a pillow or a folded blanket to support the head and neck, and bend the knees for a moment. Use the hands to take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels, extending through that low back, allowing that low back to be comfortable. And then extend one heel out and then the other, slide it along the floor and release the legs to the earth. Baby toes drop to the earth. The rest of the toes follow, and softly close the eyes. Bend the elbows for a moment and place the fingertips pointing toward the ceiling. Dig into the elbows, dig them into the ground and lift and open the heart center any amount. Lift and open the heart center, the shoulders are down. And then release the arms to the side. The arms are in a low V, palms up position. It's about 30 degrees away from the body. Then through closed eyes, just scan the body for any tension. Just notice where you're holding. Where are you holding on today? And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Then where's the next place that you find you're holding tension? Is it your shoulders, your jaw, your throat, hips, the belly? Where's the tension today? Can you notice? Be aware. Breathe into that spot. Let that tension go. Feel the heaviness of the arms, the heaviness of the legs. Let them rest here. They are our organs of action. They take us out into the world. Here, let them completely release. Let them be heavy. The chest is light. Swallow to soften the throat. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Relax the jaw all the way up to the hinge near the ears. Relax that hinge joint of the jaw. Let the tongue rest gently in the bottom of the mouth. Teeth slightly parted, lips touching, not touching. Let the forehead be smooth like butter. Soften the skin at the temples and relax that skin toward the outer corners of the eyes, And then let the eyes sink toward the back brain, allowing the mind to quieten. And in this quiet place of non-doing, of simply being, watch the breath. Be aware of the breath. So the body is completely released, but the mind is one-pointed, it's focused. Hearing the sound of my words and focused only on the breath, watch the breath. What's your breath like in this moment today? Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Is it deep or shallow? Is it ragged or is it smooth? Just observe without needing to change anything. Just see what is. And just notice if that awareness of the breath itself has altered the breath in any way. Not because you changed it. Notice that subtle but completely huge difference between wanting to change the breath and observing it and watching it shift of its own accord, simply through observation. What's the breath like now? Take this time for yourself. Let this be a gift to yourself. Gift of breath, gift of life, gift of quiet, focused attention. This is for you. And knowing that soon you'll come out of Shavasana, it begins just with the thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. Wiggling the fingers, toes, stretching. Slowly bend the knees one at a time. Hug the knees to the chest. Rock slowly from side to side, just gently to massage the lower back. Roll onto the right side. Support your head with your upper arm and weight. Be here. When you open your eyes, let the gaze be soft, unfocused, just a few inches ahead of you on the floor. And keeping your gaze to the floor, keeping that quiet energy, Slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever possible, because it trains that focused attention. Instead of code switching, multitasking, I'm here now. Hi, Anna Maria, I see you first. Good to see you. Instead of that code switching, full attention on what's at hand. Hi, Jackie, hi, Anne. So that we can do so. In every other moment of our lives. Did that just now as I grabbed my pen. Fully immersed in grabbing my pen for a moment. And then back here with you. All right, let's hear from one or two of you. Shavasana trains so much. Can I gain the capacity to focus on what I love and let all the other stuff fall away? When I do that, my work, my company expands unbelievably. It is an acquired skill. It's something we learn, and we learn it here. Might be 99 things you didn't love, one thing that you loved, or maybe 99 things you loved, one thing you didn't love, doesn't matter. Choose one that you loved and share it with us here. What did you love about this experience of Shavasana today? What did you notice? Who would like to begin? Yeah, Anne, thank you. And remember to unmute. Thank you.
I just felt so warm today in Shavasana. It was just this warm, awesome feeling.
How nice is that? You know, we so easily miss the depth of these simple things in the busyness of our lives. I don't even like that word busy. I don't use it very often. I have that warm, awesome feeling, and I can go back there at other moments when life feels more like stuff is going on. It becomes a touchstone for me. Thank you, Anne. I love it. Who's next? What did you love in this practice of Shavasana today? Everyone is different. Every person is different, and every practice of Shavasana different. Jackie, thank you.
Yeah, I love starting the meeting out like that because it just gives you a few minutes to just stop and regroup and reset.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put. I love it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else wanting to be shared about the Shavasana practice today? Anything bubbling up inside you? Okay, then let me grab different sets of notes here. Right, okay. I would love to hear a little bit about your experience after our call last time. And just to recall, last time we were talking about speaking and the title of that segment is how to make, you know, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 or more speaking, even when you can't sell. We talked about why it's so important to speak, how we gain an understanding of what we're even offering. We leverage our time. We understand our clients better. We start to gather our own content in ways that actually land for other people, and so many other reasons. And we can do it in front of an audience of two in our living room or in front of thousands. And people in this group have done both of those things, right? So I don't want to review all of the places where we've been, what it means to have real communication and the importance of connection and why we start close in and move to far away. And all those things are from the other calls, but just mentioning the words to kind of remember where we are after our break over the holidays. But what I'd love to ask you, I left you with a few times of, and Lindsay, thank you, I see your note. Left you with a couple of assignments, what I call home play. Homework gets us in the energy of adult to-do list, heavy. But home play, let me play with this. And so some of the things I asked you about, remember we went through Yvonne's talk last time. It's like, what should she even include in her talk? What belongs there? And can you use that as a template, as an idea for your own talk? So couple things. Number one, did you make progress on your talk? Did you figure out some of the components of it? Number two, did you book a date to speak? So some of the challenges that I gave to you, right? Did you actually do a talk? I said you could do it in front of, you know, two people in your living room if you chose. And then how did it go? And then another one of those, that home play work, we talked about the 10 keys to fabulous speaking. And so I suggested that you work on one of these. It might be, whether top of mind problem, it might be, it might have been, how do I create a simple talk structure? It might be, how do I understand it at a more subtle level, the audience and purpose? If we talked about, Uncle Bob, I give you a 3-minute training, what I used to teach at the university, 2 hours. If you ask more questions about it, I'll elaborate. What's a single domino? Make one point and find details to support it. So many different things to play with. I suggested that you choose one of these and see how it unfolds for you as you're creating this talk, what evolves out of it. Then I also gave you some other home play just to remind you of where we were. They sometimes come out in simple ways, but I really strongly suggest that you actually do these things. Did you watch the 4-minute and my 4-minute and 7-minute talk? Did you watch and see, what's a single domino? How are these talks different from each other? They're both very short little talks, but they have a very different purpose. We'll start looking at, we're going to finish off the piece about speaking today, then we're going to start moving into making offers. All right, so that's our plan for today. That's some of the home play that I gave you. And I just want to ask you, who did at least one piece from those different things that I suggested? I know it was the holidays. Yay, okay. So who did none of those things? Be proud, hands up. Okay, so fantastic. Lots of hands up. So I outlined it here for you, and I suggest that you take that on for this week. We have 2 calls this week. So between now and Thursday, who's willing to take on at least one of these things? You could, all it would take is 5 seconds to, well, maybe 1 minute to decide, I'm going to do a talk on this date, and I book a date, and it changes your world, right? That could take less than 5 minutes, certainly. What should the structure of my talk be? Let me get on a half-hour phone call with somebody from this group and outline it. So who's willing to do at least, or what's the one point in the 10 Keys to Great Speaking that I want to work on? So who's willing to work on at least one of those pieces of home play between now and when we next meet? Because if it remains theoretical knowledge, nothing happens, right? So who's willing to work on at least one of them? It could take you less than 5 minutes, right? Hands up and be proud, all right? Hoping to see all the hands up. If you're not going to spend at least that 1 minute to book a date or to put hands up, be proud. I encourage honesty, Satya. All right, Dottie, thank you for that. Encourage your honesty. Maybe it's that you got 16-hour days in the next couple of days. Maybe somebody's in the hospital that you need to visit. It's like, thank you for that. It provides permission. But we got most people doing that for next time. And again, this happens by actually putting it on the cord and making it happen and testing it out and seeing what's going on, right? So at least a couple of you, one or two of you, put up your hand and said, I did some pieces of that. So I would love to hear from one of you, at least one of you, and who did at least one piece of that? Raise your hand. You might have done it just in the last few seconds and booked a date. While I was speaking. Now way more hands went up. How wonderful is that? Let's hear from at least a couple of you. What did you do? And what were the results? So share with us. It's a win that you did it. Anne, go ahead. It's a huge win that you did it. You're on the court. Anne, oh, where did you go, Anne? Everything, okay, there you are. You changed positions on my screen. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I could remember not all of what the home play was, but I did remember that we were supposed to start writing this talk, 4 or 5 paragraphs. So I was like so excited about that because sometimes I can't remember what we're supposed to do. So, in my head, I had it. So, and then I thought about it, and I already know what I'm going to wanted to do my talk on, but I still didn't really write anything down. And then I finally did it. So I got the first part, and I also, I have it here, and I did practice it or talk to my employees, the 2 girls who work for me in the barn, as well as my sister and brother-in-law. So I've already done the talk, and I know it has a long way to go, but I think it's a start, and I was happy about that.
and freaking awesome. I'm so happy to hear this. How, and here's, we often neglect this question as well. Like, how do you feel having created that and already delivered your talk in front of two audience? How does that feel to you?
It feels good. And I feel like I really love the topic. And so I think because I love the topic, and I think I've loved it since I was even a kid, that this could turn into maybe something, you know. It's just a start and it's probably not flowing or whatever, but I just felt like this is a really important topic to me.
I love it.
So
I love it. And that's a key thing too. Like, do I love what I'm speaking about? Would I be engaged? Would I want to listen to this even? And sometimes more often than we would think, the answer is no, because we're doing it for some purpose. We're doing it because we think we're supposed to. We're doing it. What do you love? What are you passionate about? What matters to you? Because the work, hopefully, that you're doing has that in it. And if it doesn't, ask me a question about that. How to evolve the thing you do so you can fall in love with it again. So so many wonderful components of loving it, setting a date, creating the talk, doing it in front of real audiences. And then you're ready. You're ready to go find those audiences of people who may be able to engage in your work. That's fantastic. And in creating that, that's going to flow back as well to the networking, it's going to flow forward to what you put online and what you write in your e-zine, if you have one, or emails that you send to your list. It's going to flow to the next conversation with you have that you have with somebody who might engage in your work. And it's going to flow into offers. It's going to flow into, what is it that you even want as a call to action? So then you got to create that thing. All, you know, that's all going to help you with your business. So wonderful, Anne. This is great, great, great work. Thank you for that. Love that share. Let's hear from one other person. Which part of the home play did you do and what were the results? And I don't care whether, you know, you loved it or you hated it. I mean, hopefully you loved it, but or whether they loved it or they threw tomatoes at you, it doesn't matter. It's you're on the court, you're doing. It's wonderful. Who else? Michelle, go ahead.
Well, mine's a little different in the sense that I practice like speaking on camera. So I did a video of myself speaking and teaching something, and I did have people watching as well. So I figured that's something at least. and it's actually kind of hard to speak on video because you overthink it a lot. So mm-hmm. I did that, which was good. And then I've just recently at least come up with a topic for something I could speak about, because that was sort of I was a little unsure. So I think now that I have a topic, then I could actually write something. So
fantastic. And Michelle, yes, you're right. You started with the harder version of it. The easiest is always starting in close. So, and no problem with that. Fantastic. Great job. You know, we start wherever you start. And having done the harder version, then how much easier it is when you have people right in front of you. And when you did the video, was it, you said you had people, were you able to see them or was it just a one-way transmission?
It was my parents, so I could see them.
Yeah, fantastic. And I love that. And this is another, it allows me to do one more training piece. We did a very quick teaching on audience and purpose. There's always so much I want to share with you that let me give you the foundations of, you know, each piece that you need, right? But with audience and purpose, often we end up envisioning an audience of people that are not going to receive it. They were not going to like it. They're going to say bad things. Then we try to write the first word, or we try to come up with the topic, and we're paralyzed and it's like throat's tight and can't get there from there. How wonderful that you chose your parents to do that with. How wonderful. And I expect that these are, you know, everybody has different relationship with their parents, but I expect that this was a receptive audience for you and you wouldn't have chosen them, right? And so how wonderful, because what you're training inside yourself is that my audience will listen to me. My audience cares about what I have to say. My audience will be listening to every word that I'm saying, and that allows us to create words that are much more resonant, that are much more real, that come from the heart, that we're less afraid to say something that we want to say, to actually make the point, because we envision a receptive audience. So all those things happening with that work that you did. Fantastic. Thank you, Michelle. Love it. anyone else who would like to share what you did with that home play, how it went, many results from simple actions. Mary Kay, thank you.
I used mine as an introduction to a dog workshop that I gave on loving presence. It felt really good. And two other people said that I should take it out to corporate world.
So they liked it. They loved it. They're thinking of other audiences for you to be in front of. And so this gives another benefit. This underlines, so thank you, Mary Kay, love that. This underlines another benefit about speaking is that, you know, where do you find people who might be open to, who might need the work that you do? How do you find them? Well, one audience leads to another. It's one of the best ways to find other people is to be in front of people. And then those people will tell you who next to be in front of. And then, of course, it's up to you to decide and determine, chart your course. Like, is that the audience I want to be in front of or not? But generating a next audience from that audience is fantastic. So sometimes we generate it from the audience in front of us, sometimes from other people who've spoken in front of that audience. And we think, well, that doesn't count, for instance, with Michelle, because that was in front of my parents. But you don't necessarily know. Every person on the planet knows that, you know, usually on average 200 people in this group is probably a lot more than that. And it could be your mother, or your father, or I remember one of one person I worked with, it was her dentist who got her her first client. So you don't know if that person may well be connected to the person that you ought to be making that offer to. And so it generates clients. So where do we find clients? Well, through other people that we're in front of, right? Speaking generates that for us as well. So thank you, Mary Kay. I love that. So, and Michelle, Mary Kay, thank you. Beautiful. Love it. Love it. Love it. So I encourage you all to take on this home play, and each piece of it is important, but take it one step at a time. Which piece do I want to engage in first? And each piece that we do has multiple results, or I wouldn't be suggesting it here, right? So, and it's all layered. It begins with the networking, begins close in, and then we start to build in the different places where we use our words. So we get results for our companies and for our world. So anyone else with a story bursting to be shared without which we can't go forward? Just a different call than, you know, asking for who would like to speak. Then it's just like in case there's energy bubbling up. Okay, thank you. I would just love to hear. I sometimes ask for wins, and I haven't been in the last few weeks, I don't think. And I love calling for wins because we've been learning a lot of things about how to go and speak with people when we're networking, the networking, you know, do's and don'ts and networking personalities. Everywhere we're speaking to people, we can use that. We started speaking about speaking, and a lot of those pieces, you might not even be working on that. You might have been working on copy, for instance, but you went, oh, ho-hum, so what? Like one of the keys to great speaking. People are bored at the beginning. How do I grab their attention? And maybe you're writing online copy, or maybe you were speaking with a client, and it was like, what's a single domino? What's the one belief that needs to be knocked over or transformed in order to get this important material across? So a lot of different applications. We're focused in one area, but there's many places where wins can happen. So I would love to hear one or two wins. What's been rolling for you since we last met? It might be in meeting someone, assisting your client at a better level, speaking in front of audiences. So I want to open it out to other kinds of wins just for a minute or two, because what we focus on expands. And when we can share in somebody else's wins, it gives us ideas for what we can do too. All right. So a win you'd like to share with a client, with a possible new client. Jasmine, go ahead.
So as you know, and I'm so excited to share, I am hosting a virtual summit at the end of the month, and last night my website went live for folks to register for it.
Yay! Yes, and Jasmine, will you tell them all, like, you've done this 100 times before, this is old hat for you, right?
Yes. No. This is my very first time. time putting on an event like this online. I've put on events before, but oh my goodness, this has been such an incredible experience. It's called the Resiliency Summit, and it's just going to be an amazing value-packed summit full of speakers sharing their stories and speaking about resiliency and the role it plays in their business. And so far, the interviews have been out of this world. It's been such an incredible experience, and it has plenty of speaking opportunities for me and me just getting in front of a really much bigger audience than I ever have been before.
Jasmine, that's so fantastic, and I love everything you're doing with this, and love that you've never ever done anything like this before. It's been so wonderful tracking on all that you're doing with this, and the connections you're making, the feedback that you're getting from the speakers. I know the audience that you're reaching, it's freaking awesome. So thank you for sharing that. Love that. Many opportunities to speak, and there's another kind of venue for speaking, getting in front of all those people's audiences as well, right? So multiplying your reach through this. Fantastic. Yes, really great. Let's hear one other win. Who has something that they'd like to share? Where are you using your words? Sherry, thank you.
One of the things that I've been doing to get comfortable speaking in front of an audience is I've been going to Toastmasters. And this, I've only been in it for about 9 months, but this 6 months, I was voted in to be the president of this group, which means I am in front of the group every single week and have to be prepared in a positive, uplifting fashion. So in addition to any speeches I may choose to make. So
it's Sherry, fantastic. Another huge way to multiply the number of times you're in front of audiences, the practice speaking, the ability to and not just be in front of that audience, but host for other people to be in front of that audience. So it's like a meta level of speaking. This is really, really wonderful, Sherry. Way to put yourself out there, you know?
And one of the things that had happened was that the group, the Toastmasters International, has put an alliance together with the Rotary Group, which will then give me an opportunity to go to Rotary meetings and introduce myself and see about speaking opportunities there as well.
Fantastic, fantastic. One action, many results for your business. I love that. Love it. Thank you. Beautiful. All right. So let me see. Anything else bursting to be said, without which we cannot go forward? Anyone sitting on something, our energy will be drawn over to that bubble of energy. You're good? Okay. So we're going to finish up with speaking today and then moving on to offers. And last time we went through the 10 keys to great speaking. Remember that all those resources are in our Story Freedom Academy as well. Oh, right. One thing I almost forgot. One more piece. So how many of you actually looked at the 4-minute and the 7-minute talk that I did? This posted for you. Fantastic. All right. So I would love to hear, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, and I wouldn't, is that the first form that I would suggest that you do, that short form talk? No, not necessarily. This takes a lot of skill to speak for a short time and really get the point across. And give yourself time when you're speaking, and easier to do 20 minutes or an hour than to do a focused 4 or 8 minute talks. Those took a lot of crafting. But I would love to hear just a couple of observations from one or two of you, just 1 minute, because I did ask you to go take a look at that. What did you notice? Could you detect a different audience or a different purpose to these? What did you notice about, could you connect it with any of the pieces, like begin with the end in mind, or know your audience and purpose, or create a simple talk structure, or the ho-hum, so what? You know, imagine a bored audience, and why, so what? Why does it matter? What's a single domino? Make one point, find details to support it. Many you'll see, I don't go through the checklist. These are things that I know from speaking for many, many years. But I'm sure when you went back to it, you would find many of those things there. So it might be that or something else. What did you observe about these two talks, about their differences or similarities, something that struck you about any piece of it so that you can, what is it that you have to share about them? What did you observe that then you can take home for you as you're speaking? Do you remember? Any observations? Okay, yeah, thanks, Michelle. And then Jackie.
One thing I noticed is that it really felt like when you're watching it, like you're speaking, almost like you're speaking to me, like a setup put on thing, I guess. And that's one of the big things, is that even if you're speaking to a big audience, that it feels like you're connecting to that one person type of a feeling. So it didn't feel like a put on, here's what I'm saying kind of a thing.
Thank you. You're underlining the importance of audience and purpose, so keeping the audience in mind. Who, like, and how do you think that happened for you? Why was there that effect? That it's like, wow, it's not some generalized thing, and it's not some speaking from on high. It's talking to me. Why do you think that happened, Michelle? Can you pinpoint that?
I think, yeah, like you're relatable in the way you're talking, right? So it was easy to, like, the connection thing, like it was easy to connect with what you're saying. It felt relatable. And then I guess as well, like, you seemed relaxed. So that obviously that helps as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so relatable. So examples that people can relate to, and also listening to people's stories for a long time so that I know the kinds of things that people are, what people's pain is, so that it sometimes can, when it's for the right audience, it'll feel like, wow, how'd you get inside my head? That's what I'm thinking. Because of all the listening that's happened through the networking, for instance, right? And listening to people first, that's a piece of why that's happening. And then the part about relaxed, oh my goodness, there was so much preparation that went behind both of these talks. Tons and tons of preparation, but it's also what I'm asking you to do, get in front of audiences. I've been speaking for years and years and years and years and years, and in front of audiences at the university, and you know, speaking international speaker, and in front of, in living rooms, right? Like, so many opportunities to speak, and then practice too. So both of these, because they were short form, had to be practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced in order to create that relaxation. So that relaxation, that ability to be at ease, is constructed. It doesn't just happen. It's part of it comes from practicing in front of an audience of teddy bears, or an audience of your parents, or an audience of whoever you can get in front of to do that. And so for instance, the 4-minute talk, I did a version of it first in front of some of you know Kim Yancey from eWomen Network. So he listened to the talk beforehand and gave some feedback. So that was harder than the talk itself, right? So, because I so appreciate him and I so value his feedback. So, you know, from difficult audiences to easy audiences before, and actually I did the 7-minute talk in order to do the 4-minute talk. They are not the same talk, but I got myself in front of an audience of 100 people in order to do that 4-minute talk, which I cared actually more about than the 7-minute talk. So practicing to, in order to be able to be present with that audience. So thank you. Love that. Was it, who's, so your hand was up, was it Jackie? Yeah. Okay, Jackie, go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the thing that I noticed right away on that 4-minute talk for me was your laser focus. It was like you came in, you demanded my attention, not in a bad way, but you were there, and your eye contact is so sincere that it just, it's almost like this woman has something to say. I need to listen to what she has to say. Mm. So that's what, very similar to what Michelle, you know, had to say, but it was so direct and so to the point. And so that's what I noticed. Very, very laser focused is the word that I wanted to, you know.
Thank you. I love that, Jackie. And there's a reason that we start every, it's one of many reasons that we start every call with Shavasana. Because it trains that focus, and that focus didn't just happen overnight. I've been beginning every day with Shavasana and the breath work that's built on Shavasana, so beyond the scope of what we're doing here right now. But since summer of 2006, I've missed a handful of days. So what's that? That's coming up 14 years. So train the focus so that I can be present in, and doing it in Shavasana with the breath is easier. It's easier and it's not easy. It's like, as my mind wanders here and wanders there, right? But there aren't distractions. There's not an audience. There's not, you know, man, I've got this, that with the 4-minute talk, it was with both of them, there was one take. There was just one take and it goes well or it doesn't, you know? And so there's more pressure there, right? So I practice and practice and practice each day. I train that focus. I encourage all of you to begin your day with Shavasana because it's cumulative. And then I can be there when I'm talking to that client, when I'm talking to my daughter, when I'm talking in front of that audience, when I'm talking in front of those cameras, when I'm preparing for it, which is sometimes even more, you know, which is even scarier. So thank you for that, Jackie. I love that. So I encourage you all to go and listen to those. And again, I don't encourage that short form first. It took a lot of years of practice to build up to those two short form. They're for very specific audiences. And also, I'll tell you, there's a very different purpose. So if you've seen those two, do you know what the different purpose is for those two? Can you tell? And then if you go back and watch them again, these are highly constructed pieces. So there's a lot to learn just from watching them and watching them more than once. I've spent a lot of time with just these two short. I've done some once-off things that are 1 minute or 3 minute in front of lots of different audiences, but these are the most highly crafted pieces I've probably ever done with that length of time. And oh goodness, what was I going to say? I forgot. Da, 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 da. Highly crafted. Oh, the audience, right. So they have a very different audience and purpose. So if you go back and watch them again, the 7-minute talk, if you've seen it recently, if you remember, what did I want people to do? Begin with the end in mind. It's a very clear call to action and everything in that talk builds to that. Do you know what I want them to do? And they all, with a couple of exceptions in the room, the whole audience did what I asked them to do. Do you know what it was? You can go back and listen to it. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
Well, it was to sign up for the Anatomy of a Story.
Yeah, Anatomy of an Empowering Story. So I wanted that to be an irresistible object of desire. Please go and get that. Because what that did is then they're on my list and then we can start a conversation. We can start to get to know each other. So the entire call to action goes over there. And you can watch how the whole talk is constructed to have them want to do that, right? And the 4-minute talk is for a very different reason. The 4-minute talk is, you'll see it on my speaker page, which is still very, I do tons of speaking and it's still a very rudimentary speaker page, I would say. But it functions just fine. It puts me in front of all kinds of audiences. And so there's just my speaker sheet, which you have access to in our Story Freedom Academy. You can model that. You ought to add testimonials. Mine doesn't even have testimonials. I haven't got around to it yet, but it ought to have it. I have them. I just haven't added it into the speaker sheet. Doesn't matter. It's still working. Right. And then that 4-minute talk is on my speaker page. And what that talk is designed to do, it's for hosts because I want to speak in front of audiences. And so what that talk is designed to do is to showcase that if you put me in front of your audience, I will hold that audience there. I will have something to say. If I can say something in 4 minutes that will captivate you in the way that Jackie was just describing, I will do that for your audience too. Bring me in to speak. And then, so with event hosts, we put that video in front of them. It's very new. It's just from last summer, right? We can put that in front of them so that they can be assured that I will engage that audience. If they're engaged in 4 minutes, I can engage them for longer because event hosts will know that 4 minutes is harder than engaging for a longer period of time. So you can, when you go back to look at those, check and see how they're positioned very differently. The purpose is different. The audience is different. And they have some content that's the same. Every time I'm going to say stories matter. Stories are everywhere and they matter, but to a different end. And you can watch how that's playing out because of the different audience, different purpose. Okay. So anything bursting to be said, either a very quick question or a comment, because we're going to end that for now and then move on to something else. Nothing bursting to be said. Okay. Awesome. Encourage you to go and use those resources and to watch, especially you can watch for audience and purpose there. That's a really great training ground to see, okay, it's a very different audience. So why is she doing, and you can ask me questions about that too. Why did you pick that instead of that? Why did you pick that example? Why did you order it in that way? And happy to answer those questions if you ask them, if there's more interest. Okay. Speaking, okay. The next place I want to go to, as I say, we're going to finish up speaking today, and that's with this storyboard. And how many of you have taken a look at my storyboard before now? Hands up. How many have not seen it yet, haven't gone over there yet, Story Freedom? How many are not even sure what I'm talking about? Be proud. Hands up. Thank you. All right. So let me share my page. Let me make sure I've got the right page here to share. Let me see, Tangri's great speaking. Okay, here we go. Share page. And I'm actually sharing something first. So this isn't what I was talking about. This is my speaker sheet. And this is a great thing to create because you can get in front of audiences with a one sheet about what you're talking about. You can model this. So we're going to get, there's a number of great questions on board. I'll get to some of them today, hopefully, and then some of them on Thursday. Keep asking your questions, keep posting your questions. I'll get to them. We'll get to all of them eventually. Lots of content that I want to get to today with you. So a title that has their pain point in it, stories that sell. People aren't selling and they want to sell and they know something about stories. So I'm aiming at a slightly educated audience that they know that stories are going to have something to do with selling, but I don't even assume that. You can notice in that first sentence, most entrepreneurs know we need good stories for business. Client testimonials, speaker biographies, and sales pitches are all stories. Even if my audience didn't know that beforehand, that stories matter, I just told them. Oh my goodness, I never thought about that. Right. If I want my biography, if I want my client testimonials, we fear the poorly. So I'm telling them, I'm letting them know. I'm both, because not everyone knows how important stories are, I'm letting them know why it matters to them if they want to sell stuff. And then what the benefits are, bullet points, and then my biography. Right, the bio, short bio. And so we're asking about a bio. You can model mine. It's short and sweet. It keeps in mind audience and purpose in ways that we will get to with Jasmine's question at one point, I believe. It's got a couple pictures. It's a very simple sheet, but very, very powerful. And all this in benefit-driven language. How incorporating the well-told story in your business can increase your sales fivefold and beyond. I really like that because I want more sales. How does that happen? Right? And I'm choosing a top-of-mind problem, stories that sell. It's not the only reason we need stories. But if it's an entrepreneur and they need to sell more, there's a good chance that it's somebody that I'll be able to help. Okay, so the storyboard. You can all see the storyboard now? Yes? Okay, so that description of the talk, so this one that I just showed you, leads to this talk, all right? Now, the interesting thing, there's a kind of a complex structure that I use, and I was thinking I really ought to teach it differently because this is maybe more complex than you need to be, but I've been thinking about it over the last year, and actually, there's a reason that I do it this way. I tell them what they're going to learn, what their top-of-mind problems are. But I just weave these through and I create my own structure of what I know they need to know. This and this are the same talk, but they don't look at all the same, right? Because here, this is their top of mind problem. If I said to them, they're going to learn that stories are everywhere and that they're empowering and disempowering stories, they won't care at all. But by the time I finish the talk, they're really going to care, right? So I make sure that I answer all these, that I give them this and then much, much, much more. Because they're going to want to know, for instance, how to know when you're accidentally telling a disempowering story for your potential clients or your company, or worse still, no coherent story at all. How understanding story form can take you from being exhausted and overworked to easily landing the deal. I know people are working too hard. I know that they're not getting where they want to go. I know that if they're not selling the stuff that they want to sell, if their offers aren't landing, that there's a story problem in there, and they're too tired. They don't know why their audience isn't moved. They don't know how to sell stuff. They don't know when they're engaged in a story that they don't even know they're telling. So people want this. This is top of mind problem. here's what the structure of the talk actually is. And if, for instance, I've never taught it this way before, but I've been pondering this and pulling out more and more unconscious competence from me. Do y'all know what I mean by that? It's things that I've been doing for a long time, but can't even articulate yet. And I want to articulate more of it to you so you can see how this structure works. So if I just went through and answered all these questions, there's no structure to the talk. They'll all go home satisfied and full. And they won't know that there's more that we can do. And then all I've done is inspired them for a moment. I haven't been able to really touch their lives. And that's so important. I want to be able to, actually, I can't see all of you, but raise your hand if you understood what I just said, that if I just answer these questions, they go home, they're full, I can't help them any further. I've done a disservice. All the hands that I can see are raised. So I'm going to take that. I can't see all of you when we're in this mode. So, okay, great. So this talk follows that 10 keys to great speaking and accomplishes all those things. I start from there. I start from, this is what I know that they need to know, but they don't know it yet. By the time I end the talk, they know, right? And the structure of it, this is only for you. This is not to share with anybody else in the world, because people would go, well, I'm not interested in that. I get it. There's a real simple structure. Okay, got it. I'm done. But it's so much deeper than that. There'd be a lot of false closure if I put this out there as it is. But I want you guys to see this because I want you to understand the structure of the talk, how very simple it is, and how you can do this yourself. And if you notice, this was I was speaking in Victoria at eWomen Network in front of an audience of about 50 people. And May 8th, 2018 is at the top there. And this was done by somebody who had never heard my talk before. It was somebody I didn't know in the audience. And she did this kind of work. It's Deborah LaFranc. Thank you so much, Deborah LaFranc. And she just gave this to me. She gifted me this. Right? And so the structure of the talk was that clear that she could write it down, having heard it never before and only once. Right? And so she's got the title at the talk. And it starts out by asking them questions. You know, are you on a mission? Have you got something you want to get out there in the world, but maybe you're not getting out there as much as you like? So I've got a hook. I've got it, and you've got that up in the top left corner there. You know, do you ever find yourself that you know what you want to say, but you just can't find the words? Those are probably the questions that I asked at the beginning. They're enrolling questions. They answer that question, ho-hum. The audience is bored. They don't care. It's like, oh, that's me. I want questions where people are going to say, that's me. That's what I've been thinking about. How did you get into my head? And how you got into that person's head? By all the work that we've done with networking and with what we're going to learn next time about offers. And you're going to be on the court and listening to people so that you know what questions to ask. Then I say a little bit about me. You see that? My journey. Left university, body breaking. What does it take over 25 years in the world of stories? So what I said about that, we always want to create, my teacher Lisa Sasevich put it this way. I've heard it said different ways, but I like how she names it. You need to create at the beginning credibility and vulnerability. You need people, remember that Jackie Francis was talking about that. It's like, you seem so, and Michelle was too, you seem so relatable. There's got to be something. It creates vulnerability. She just wrote down as body breaking. I was like, I said, you know, I was inspiring these people at university, but then I got out and I didn't know what to do. Like, and my income was negative. And I just like, and how do I apply it? So then they're engaged in that question. Like, how do I apply it over here in this world? My body was breaking down. My income was negative. My partner lost his job. Vulnerability. It says like, I know what it's like, you know, I'm like you. I'm not just like speaking from on high and then down. So that's that realness, right? A vulnerability. But if sometimes if we err too much on that side, it's like, well, this is breaking, that's breaking, that's breaking, and everything's awful. There's no reason that anyone should listen to me. Credibility. Do you see that? There's both credibility and vulnerability. Over 25 years, I've been in the field of words and stories for over 25 years. And here's some things that I've learned, et cetera, et cetera. And that my PhD was about what are the stories that bind us? She's got that written down there. And what are the stories that set us free? So establishing credibility with some very quick, and you can watch me doing that too, in both those short talks. In the 4-minute talk, it happens in about 10 seconds. It's the point where I go, then I had to figure out how to do it out there in the world, but that's another story. that was a moment of credibility, of vulnerability. I only had 10 seconds to do it there. All right. So, and then she, you see how she's got every part of our business is telling stories, and she's got it right across the page. That's the single domino. I didn't even have that language. I learned that language of single domino more recently than May 8th, 2018. But it's a single domino. When we start to understand that every part of our business is telling stories, and I outlined that in the talk here, right? We need it to connect with ideal clients, create clients, create powerful presentations, have people clamoring to join the tribe in order to create client testimonials, speaker biographies. I give some examples there. Right. So when they understand that, then they're ready to hear the talk. And it's got a very simple structure. Stories are everywhere. When they understand there's no place outside story, including the stories inside you. And some of them are empowering. Some of them are disempowering. Sometimes we live life in the wrong genre. We, you know, and that is going to engage the audience too, because it's like we're, you know, if you ever say things start out well and then they go wrong. If you've ever said that, oh, it started out well. But so those are all things I know people say. You know, every time I go talk to people, they want to hear about what I have to say, but they never buy. Oh, it always goes wrong. So I'm engaging them where they are, right? And so you need to know what those stories are. You get to choose your own story. It's the same essential message, and I wanted you to read Anatomy. It's the same essential message in Anatomy of an empowering story. My free gift and my talk have the same message. It's my core message, right? You can choose your story, but you need to, sometimes there's stories, you'll hear me doing this in the 4 and the 7 minute talk to you. Sometimes we don't even know what story is going on inside of us. And we don't even know the stories that we're telling other people. And if that's the case, the more we know about story, the more we'll be able to grow our companies in every area, not just about sales. It's going to affect every area. So I don't have time in this 25-minute talk. Say this was a 20-minute talk. I don't have time to tell you everything, show you all the examples of where we use story. I can't tell you about what the biggest mistake is. I can't tell you, so I seed some things that are over there in Anatomy. There's a PSPS. I've solved a problem. I've given them 3 keys. These are the 3 keys. It's not what they were expecting. And meanwhile, I make sure that underneath those settings, I answer all these questions. They're top of mind problem. And then, you know, what's your best next story step? And you can see the call to action right here. You could change the story. What's your best next story step? Well, you better go get Anatomy, because it's going to teach you so much more than I have time for here. I spent an entire summer writing it, and I thought it couldn't even reach, like, I didn't think I had a disempowering story myself. I didn't think I could write it in so few words when I spent years of my life studying it. It was only for my high-end clients. It was for my, you know, it was what I did my PhD on, but I worked and figured out I could make it accessible. It's only going to take you 20 minutes to read it. It could change your life. Go get it, right? It's the same essential message that I do in the 7-minute talk as well. So, and I know there's a very clear call to action. What I've done with this talk, don't do this, because more nuanced skill. And again, this is my field. I've been working with words for over 25 years. Don't do this when you begin. But I asked them for 2 things. Do you want Anatomy? And also, do you want to come and talk to me? Because I don't know what your story is. I can't tell what the most important thing is that you should do. But if you want to know that, come and talk to me. And that's called a strategy session, right? We'll learn more about that today, and it's going to bleed over into tomorrow's call as well, I'm sure, or the call 2 days from now. So that's it. It's a very simple structure. Here is credibility. Here's vulnerability. Here's a hook about why you should listen at the beginning. Here's the 3 things that you need to know. And all the way along, I'm going to be telling them why it matters to them. You can connect it over with the questions that I answer. With their top of mind problems. Each one of those top of mind problems, I fit underneath that structure that I want. And the structure, that threefold structure, helps to lead them to the next step. It's the part inside the party. Do you understand what I'm saying, inside the party? They don't know they need that at first, but once they're there listening to me speak, they're going to know that they need and want that. And then I can create that PSPS, problem, solution, problem, solution. They had a problem, I give them a solution. You need to know those 3 things are on the page there. But the problem is, I can't tell you what the mistake is. I can't tell you other places to apply it. I can't tell you a bunch of things that you're going to be able to read in Anatomy. There's more time over there for me to articulate it. I can't give you all the examples that might relate to more about where you're going to best apply this. go get anatomy. All right. So let me see. So the talk. I want to just open it out just for a minute or two. Then we're going to get over there to offers, all right? But I want to open it up to just one or two quick questions or observations or ahas, because I want to know what you heard here, either an aha or a question. Did this look easy? Did this look like a simple structure? This is a talk that this does not look like a simple structure to you. Ah, okay. Let me go back then. Okay. Did I confuse you with the structure? All right. The simple structure is I ask a question to you that's inside their mind, right? I tell them a bit about me that will have them listening to me. I teach them three things, and I tell them what the next step is. All right, so thank you. I'm glad I saw your sheet. Does it look like a simple structure now? Does that look simpler now? Yes and no, I'm here. I've never taught it this way before, putting those side by side. So it's looking more complex to you because I put it side by side, isn't it? All right. Then let me ask you this question. Does this look doable? Does this look like something you could do? Yeah, Jackie, go ahead.
I think it's very complex. To me, it doesn't look simple. There's a lot to it. It's well laid out.
Yes, good. Really nicely described. So
I just wanted to clarify. It's not simple by any means to me.
Yeah.
It's very complex, but it's very well laid out, so it's understandable.
Yes, got it. Yes, yes. And is that what you were all feeling when you were saying that? It's kind of, yes, it's, yes, got it. Okay. So you're right. There's a ton of technique, let me put it that way, behind this simple looking structure. There's a reason that I go out and speak and you know, it makes $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000. You don't have to, because of all the things that I'm teaching you here, right? So there's layers of how it happens. Does this look accessible? Do you understand what's going, if you understand what's going on here, raise your hand. I think that's the question I want to ask. Wow, great. Okay. If this looks like, you know, I have no idea what's going on and I'm really lost, Michelle, raise your hand, because I've not taught it this way before. I wanted to show you both those parts. No hands raised. Okay. All right. If this looks like something you could do, let me say it like this. You can create something that has you credible, that has you vulnerable. You can ask some questions that are inside their head because you've been out networking and finding out what matters to people, right? And you have three things that you want to say to people. You can solve a problem and then find out what the problem is remaining so you can take them to the next step. If that's something that you think you could do, even if you don't know how to do it yet because you haven't done it yet, because you got to go do it, you got to go do the work. If that seems like something that you could do, could you just apply to your field and raise your hand? I want to see how many people are thinking like, I can do this. Okay, fantastic. That's what I was hoping for. That's what I thought. All right. Almost all the hands raised. If you're not sure, get in touch with somebody. Raise your hands again if you think you can do this. Get in touch with one of those people who's raised their hand because they're understanding something about the structure. Nobody left behind. Get in touch with somebody who's raised their hand if you haven't raised your hand and get some help from them, all right? And also ask me questions next time, all right? So one aha or one quick question, because we're going to leave off this question about speaking other than any questions that you ask me about it, all right? So one aha or one or a question that you want to ask. Who would like to speak? Yeah, Mary Kay.
This isn't exactly an aha, but I just wanted to say that I've worked through the storyboard and the what you were just talking about, and it's easy when you just follow it step by step.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Thank you. And yeah, I've never had that reaction before each time I've taught it, but I've never taught it at this level before. I've never shown you the two things beside each other. And it's just because very recently I've been thinking about, I've been uncovering that unconscious competence so I can teach you at even a deeper level what's going on, right? And why this works so well. And thank you for that, Mary Kay. It's the same way. You can go back to the previous call and watch how we worked through some of the essential structures of Yvonne's talk. It doesn't have to be rocket science. Most people don't get there because, or if people don't get there, they don't get there because it's too complex. Hey, here's why you should listen to me. Here's some things you're probably thinking about. here's three things I want to teach you. Here's a remaining problem. Why don't you come do this next thing that I want you to do? That simple. And so simple that she could write it out even though she'd never heard the talk before. All right. So I guess the challenge is to let it be simple. If you understand what I'm saying, the challenge is to let it be simple. Raise your hand if you get what I'm saying by that. Yeah. Okay, great. Good. Okay, cool. All right. How many of you think that you could create a talk like this week in your area? Raise your hand. I actually want to see how many of you. Yeah. How many of you think you could start creating that talk this week? Raise your hand. How many of you know what will allow you to create that talk this week? What's the most important thing to do? And who remembers that? The one thing to do to make that happen. Michelle, go ahead. I think that was a hand. Go ahead.
No, I was just guessing, book, set aside a time to start, or book a date.
Yes, get it on the calendar and book a date to do the talk. Book a date to do the talk. You will get it done if you need to be in front of an audience. That's what I did with that 7-minute talk in order to prepare for the 4-minute talk. I really wanted to be prepared for the 4-minute talk. I booked myself in front of 100 people. I knew I'd be prepared. I had to be. Same for you. Book that time with your parents and say, I'm going to give you this talk next Tuesday at 5:00. Somebody that you won't break your word to, because you'll be there for them. Then it'll get done. And go with good enough. Don't think it has to be complex. And if you go, I don't know what their top of mind problem is, don't, one piece at a time. What are three things I want to teach them? And then I go talk to people and listen to them some more in the networking piece. What are they thinking about? I weave those teachings in, right? And it doesn't have to be separate the way there could be in your area. It might be your bullet points on your speaker page might be exactly those things that are the outline of the talk in the storyboard. Yours might be exactly that. In my area, it's not, because people don't know they need those things. So I start with a top of mind problem, and then I teach them, tell them, sell them what they want and give them what they need, right? This is the talk that they think that they want, and I will answer all that, and I'll give them so much more, all right? Okay, I think what I want to do from here, just take a moment, because that's a lot. I've never taught this at that level before, and I know you're the audience to hear it. I know you can hear it. I just want you to take a minute to jot down some notes, like what's the one thing that's the most important to you about what you just learned? What's the one thing you're going to do as a result of this to actually bring this into your world? And what's the one thing that's going to make it easy? So take a minute to write that down so we can consolidate this for a moment and then move on to the next piece for today. Okay, and how many of you got at least something down of those three questions so that You can take a step, raise your hand. Hopefully that's everyone, at least something down on the page. Okay, fantastic, good. Just needed to create a space because that was a lot of content. So just want to create a space to make sure that we've tied a bit of a bow around that in any case. All right, so I think what we're gonna do, I've got some more really important content to teach you, and that's about module four, five powerful words to make sales easy. However, I think that's so much content just right now that we're going to start module four on call five. All right. So we're going to, don't worry. There's always time and I always leave enough leeway time. So we always get to everything. We always do. But I think if we open another module, like brains might explode. Do you get what I'm saying? That is a lot. Am I right? Okay. So I always need a flexible plan, right? And we have some amazing questions on deck, some of them that were posted in December, some posted more recently. So I want to get to your excellent questions, and I want to remind you that every week there is an email in your inbox that tells you how and where you can post questions. If it's not there, get in touch with Amy at michellegunderson.com, A-M-Y. At michellegunderson.com and say, Amy, I don't know how to access Story Freedom Academy, all right? But there should be an email every single reminder that telling you how to post those questions. So great questions on deck, and one that was posted quite a while ago from Carly. And these are all these questions are about different places to use words. Each of the places that we focus on, I want to remind you of this, I took a long time for practical applications to decide what are the most key places that you can't miss, that you have to have your words there. Other places, they all matter. If we had world enough in time, I would do like the whole year of a whole year of practical applications. But you can't miss networking. If you don't know how to talk to people, you can't figure it out. If your talk is crucial to figure out if you're even trying to talk to more than one person, leverage your time and not be stuck at a certain level of your business. Right? If you can't make offers and offer what it is you have to do, you don't have a business. So each area is crucial. These are all also crucial areas. It's just world enough in time. And so I'm really glad that it comes in the questions. And in the last call, we'll get to some of those other areas as well. So Carly's question, great question. She says, what are good resources to prepare an annual marketing plan? So the first thing that I want to say about an annual marketing plan is it's a great idea to have one. That's the first thing. So congratulations to Carly, knowing that she needs one of those. How many of you, and no shame, have such a thing called an annual marketing plan? Raise your hand. Okay, fantastic. How many do not have that? Raise your hand. This is a great, great question. Thank you. All right. So here's what I want to do. Since all those hands went up. I don't think anybody's hand went up. We don't have a marketing plan. And it was actually more recently than I'd like to admit that we really started having a great marketing plan in this company. So I knew theoretically what to do, but I still wasn't doing it. Let me give you the basics of the marketing plan, why you would even want that. So why would you want a marketing plan? What does that even mean? The way that I think about it is a marketing plan is like cash triggers. When you market it, it's about getting your word out to people so that you're in front of audiences, so there's people that you can make offers to so people can join in your work. Make sense? Even before we have that, we need to know how sales works. Because sometimes that's why we don't start there. It's a really important question, but we don't start there. It comes for later on. Because I can have the best marketing plan. I can put myself in front of all kinds of people. I can pay $10,000 a month. I know people who do that for Facebook ads, and I don't even know what to say to them. And then when they come to me, I have no idea how to make an offer that they will then, you know, leap into the work. And so I've wasted all that money. That could save you a year's work and tens of thousands of dollars, what I just said. If you understood what I just said, raise your hand. Yeah, let me say it again. It's that important. I could get in front of all kinds of people. I build my websites, where people usually start. Now I'm going to do some Facebook ads. I'm going to get on social media. I'm in front of all these people. I don't even know what to say to them. And then I don't know how to make an offer to them. And so I've just wasted all my money and wasted all my time. It's why we don't start there. However, so that's why you haven't heard too much about it, right? However, it is extremely important. Because I want something that I will call cash triggers. And I need to be able to turn them into somebody investing in themselves through my work. I need to be able to make an offer that somebody will say yes to. But what I call cash triggers on my calendar. Because sometimes, let's say what my life looks like, and just translate to your life, right? It might look like, okay, now I'm going to spend this many hours on Facebook, and now I've got this many more likes, and now I'm going to run these Facebook ads, and now I'm going to, whatever it is, now I'm going to be creating my course, and now I'm serving the clients that I already have, or whatever it is. And my company is not making any money when I'm doing all those activities, even though I'm really busy. And I'm maybe buying a desk, and I'm setting up my office, and I'm doing all kinds of things. But if there's no cash coming into the company, I don't have a company, I don't have a business, I have a hobby. And a hobby, unless it's funded by something else, is going to lead to burnout, and is going to have to stop. If that has applied to your life ever, if that matters to you, if you understand again what I'm saying, raise your hand. I don't have cash triggers on my calendar. Nothing happens. So Carly's asking a great question. How do I get them? Well, first off, I need to know that I even want such a thing. And then I have to know, well, what creates those cash triggers? And what it is getting in front of people. So I can simplify this. I'm going to do, marketing, annual marketing plan 101, because there weren't hands raised up. Like, I've all got my marketing plan and I want to tweak it. No, people's hands were raised. Like, I don't even have one. So this is marketing, annual marketing plan 101. All right. The first thing is I need to know that I need one. Second thing is I want to put cash triggers on my calendar. And because maybe I'm not doing anything for 3 months that could even make me any money. And then I wonder why my company's going downhill. So, and a cash trigger is getting in front of people. Maybe I'm on a connection call with people and that person could turn into my client. Maybe I'm networking. Maybe I'm speaking in front of an audience. Maybe I'm doing a sponsorship. Maybe I am doing a speaking exchange with somebody and we could get in front of each other's audiences, right? So maybe I'm sending an email out to my list and they could engage. Maybe I'm sending out a free gift to somebody and then we could take another step. So one thing to do is to brainstorm all the ways that I can get in front of people and then put those triggers on my calendar. And there are things that, like one of my teachers, Sandra Yan, she says, look, what makes a cash register ring? If we don't have that, we don't have a company. What makes a cash register ring? And make sure they're on my calendar, certainly every month. What am I doing in January that's actually going to bring cash into my company? What am I doing in February, right? And one of those things will do it. I'm going to use my words and be in front of people in some way. Because we get lost and then we I'm going to build my website. That's not a cash trigger. What am I going to do right now? I mean, it's a long-term one. A Facebook ads, like all those things, those are long-term ones. What am I going to do right now where somebody I could make an offer and somebody could take it up? And we're going to talk more about making those offers next time. And that's module 4, but it's going to be in call number 5. Sorry for the, but it's just the way that I'm delivering it that I think you can hear it the best, right? And when we have conversations, what we need to do is have conversations with people. And some of those people are just going to help them. And some of those people are going to, we're going to present an offer to, if it's the right person, that we can actually help. And when we have conversations like that, about 1 in 5 of them should say yes if we're in front of the right people. Very, very roughly, maybe 1 in 5. So let's say, so how much money do you want to make? Like, let's say I want to make $100,000 in a year. And I know that I'm offering something that's worth $5,000. That means 20 people have to say yes. If 20 people have to say yes in the year, that means a couple people have to say yes in a month. That means I need to be in conversations with 10 people a month in order to meet my goal. And then I'm going to put those cash triggers on my calendar, all right? And I'm going to put them for me in this company. It's just like month by month. In January, we're doing this. In February, we're doing this. It's just a list. Carly, does that get you started? Thank you. For everyone else, does that give you some piece of, oh, I know why something's been going wrong in my business or whatever you call that, the work that I do. I don't actually even have any cash triggers on. And that's why I'm not eating this month. If that's ever happened to you, a version of that, raise your hand. Thank you. Yeah, really good. So thanks. Great question, Carly. Okay. Go ahead.
Perhaps just a follow-up to it. In terms of like keeping track of all of these conversations as well, like a CRM type software or anything like that, do you have any recommendations?
Yes. And what I want to do is, can you, if you want more detail, repost the question?
Okay.
I'm going to give you the short answer. We use something called Infusionsoft. But that might be overkill for some of you. Some of you might have heard that, might not have heard of that. It depends what stage you're at in your company. Infusionsoft runs, you know, hundreds of dollars a month, right? That might not be what you need. So there's different ways. And also we're investigating other ways that we're keeping track of different kinds of softwares that we're engaging in right now. It's a more complex answer, and I want to get to the other questions on deck, but there's a beginning, and then repost the question, and I'll give more detail, okay?
All right.
It's a great question. Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Okay, bunch of great questions on deck. Jot down the one thing that was most important from Carly's question for you that you're going to implement. I'm going to see what cash triggers even are for me. I'm going to get some of them on my calendar every month. I'm going to figure out how many people I need to talk to, like a bunch of pieces in there. What's the most important for you? Jot it down. Just take a few seconds to jot that down. Okay, thank you. You can complete that too after our call. So one of the things, and I didn't even get, there's not a chance to talk about yet, but it's like, what are the stories I'm telling myself about what's even possible? I can't have five conversations with people and, you know, them say yes, or I want to make this, but I don't think that's even possible. Or those are words and stories that are inside of us that are another level of the words that we need to grow our companies that, again, don't have bandwidth to do that today on the call, but that's a whole other piece that's behind Carly's question that, you know, again, we could spend the whole call on, right? But I want to get to some other great questions on deck here. One of them, so questions from Mary Kay and from Jasmine is what I have in front of me. Mary Kay asked, this is the second part of her question from last time. She was asking about best words to use in a business plan, both for yourself and for potential investors. And I actually pointed her to, if you want some fill in the blank things, go online and then ask me the more nuanced questions about it. There's like tons of those resources, easy to find, the fill in the blank kind, and then ask me the next level question. So that's, we talked about that last time. But then she said, how do you assess your risk? And what is reasonable risk to take on investing in team services to support your business when it would need to be a loan and you've projected but don't know how much your business will grow in the next year or so? Mary Kay's question about, well, how much risk do I take on? This is an inner word and an inner story question as I see it, right? And again, we talk more about words than stories and practical applications. Those who are in the year long, we're going to do a whole other segment in, you know, story foundations in a few months, right? And there's other components to this. But what I want to say here is risk assessment. I wish I had a set answer for this for you, Mary Kay. All of us, you know, if you how many of you have faced that decision before, like trying to decide what risk to take on in your company? Like, do I, you know, raise your hand? Yeah, it's an important question. So I'm seeing nods, hands all around. So I wish I had a pat answer for you, Mary Kay. I wish that I did. But here's what I want to point you to. Like, first, entrepreneurs are risk takers. If you are, everyone here, in my definition, is an entrepreneur. You may not self-identify that way, but it's like if you're doing a business and you're taking money for that, you're an entrepreneur, right? And entrepreneurs need to be risk takers. It's not like I've had jobs where I've had a salary. Somebody just pays you every month and you can do your job well or poorly and somebody still pays you, right? But entrepreneurs, I love that actually about entrepreneurs. They take risks. It's like, I've got this idea of something that will serve people. I'm just going to go do it. It's beautiful. And every entrepreneur that I know who's grown their company, they've taken risks. How much risk should one take? It's impossible to answer other than with a deep inner journey. And let me give you this example. One thing that you might want to watch, I can't remember the name of it, but if you just search Netflix Richard Branson, there's a Netflix show about Richard Branson that I found, I watched a couple weeks ago. I found it fascinating. And you know, he's built, what is a billion, multi-billion dollar company. And he is a huge risk taker to the point of hugely risking his life. And you'll see it in that show. I don't want to give you more details than that. in order to further his company. He literally put his life on the line with a huge chance of dying for something he did in his company. You'll see about it in the show. Now, I can't tell you to do that or not do that. That's like nobody can tell you that but you. What I can say is entrepreneurs, the more they've built, the more, as I speak with them, they've taken giant risks. I asked one entrepreneur who's built, you know, his record was, he made $1 million in 20 minutes was his record, I think, you know, like, so built a lot and, you know, a heart-centered man. And I said, like, how did you decide to build something of that magnitude? And he said, like, because I was out of sheer terror, because if it didn't run, everything was lost, you know? So there isn't a pat answer. But I do know that entrepreneurs are risk takers. And I do know, for instance, when I've invested in this company, in the various things that I need to learn, I invest in myself by getting training with others. It's the biggest place where I invest, and I invest in my team as well. And I've invested, one person I invested with, I said, you know, Liana was her name, and I knew I needed to work in her area. I said, Liana, I'm terrified. Let's go. And I was terrified at multiple levels about the work, about the investment. And it's happened multiple times. I'm like, I just made this investment and I don't know how I'm, you know, going to pay the bills for this month. I've done that. I have at different stages of this company, and it keeps happening at higher and higher levels because I keep taking bigger risks. So I don't have a set answer for that, but I do know entrepreneurs are risk takers, and it's a very inward journey, which I know, Mary Kay, you are good at, to make the decision for yourself. And I don't think those kinds of decisions get made well in a cost benefit or in a, but here's the pros and here's the cons. I think it comes from a deep inner journey, and it comes from Shavasana. Well, I'm going to point you to where the answer comes from, not the answer itself, because that would be presumptuous of me. All right. So I hope I'm making sense. Ask a follow-up question if you want more details on that, Mary Kay. Okay. And then it's also, how confident am I in my projections? And I can become more confident in my projections when I understand how the words work in all these different areas that we're learning. When I know what the stories are that are going on inside me and the stories I'm telling about my company and so on, that we have more confidence when we do that and we can take bigger risks, right? So, all right. Goodness, we have 1 minute left officially. And I know Jasmine, where are you, Jasmine? You've been waiting to hear the answer to your question. And Mary Kay, you posted another question as well. So I think what I want to do, and I know
that... My questions can definitely wait.
Thank you, Jasmine. I appreciate that. So let's come to those questions on Thursday. Mary Kay, you're okay with that as well? With the next question? Okay. Keep posting your questions. I love it when you ask questions. And if we ever ended up with not enough time, I would just do an, I would make sure that we get your questions answered. Like, it's my happy place if we were overrun with questions, because that's what's mattering to you. That's how you're applying this in the very different areas. And we don't have the time and space to talk about every single area. Here's a couple of examples that are not officially on the list, but that are crucial to our companies, right? We'll talk a bit about team, hopefully. Well, for sure, we're going to talk a bit more about team, at least on the last call, all right? Because you need people behind you. You need to be able to speak with them and have words that that land in order to grow what you're doing in the world. All right. Let me see. So I think what we're going to do is, I know that's a lot, and I know we've got two calls this week as well. So we're going to wrap it up. I just want to tell you, we're going to end with ahas and inspired actions. Just before we do that, I'm going to let you know what's in module 4, and we're going to get there next time, all right? So we're kind of a module behind, but don't worry, we'll get to all the components, all right? Here's what we're going to be learning next time. Five powerful words to make sales easy. Many entrepreneurs struggle with sales. Even those with a strong background in sales know they can do better. Avoid the dilemma of too pushy, too timid, and access an honest, enjoyable, pressure-free approach to make offers that sell. So we're going to learn five powerful words that make sales easy, keep you on track in sales conversations. Discover what to ask people so they realize immediately that you're the perfect person to help them. And then get 7 surefire steps to closing high-ticket sales with ease, right? So that's what's to come on Thursday. It's a super powerful module. Everything builds on what we've done before. So if you've missed any modules, go back and fill them in and do those pieces of home play about speaking. If you're already on the court about that, what we're going to be doing next time, we'll make a huge difference. If you need to leave right on the hour, of course I understand. Go and jot down those ahas and those inspired actions for yourself afterwards. And I suggest that you get on a call with at least one other member of somebody in this class to share them with, because that's what takes it out into the world and makes it real, all right? And then I love, it's my favorite part of the call, hearing your ahas, your inspired actions, because often it's not something that I've said, it's somebody's re-articulation or application of it right at the end that's going to be the most important thing for you and your company. Jackie, you again are in my top left-hand corner. You are up first. One aha, one inspired action, so we can take it out into the world.
You made me think about a question that I'm going to send out to you. So that's really my action. I want a question answered. So I'm going to actually formulate it and get it up there because of
Fantastic.
A lot of things that came through today just kept me thinking about that. So that's my aha. That's what I'm going to do this week.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And can you articulate the aha in just a sentence? Because then they can have that aha too. And that's a skill. That's a learned skill. How do I say it in one sentence?
This is kind of part of the question is I struggle with, I know stuff, but I don't know how I know this stuff and I don't know how to put it into story.
Right. Okay. So I have unconscious competence. This is one of the ways that's right. I have unconscious competence. Mm-hmm. How do I take that and use it in a story? And I don't know if that's for speaking or if it's for this. That's great. And the more detail you can give me on the question, the more I can help you. And also, if you just only know that, post that. It's a great, great question. Thank you, Jackie. Love it. Carly, you're up.
I really liked that it's not enough to just address like questions and topics within your speech. You've got to create a call to action that's very irresistible for people to make.
Thank you. Most people miss it, actually. It's amazing, but most people miss it. And that's why it's like, wow, I love your talk. It's great. And they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And if you heard that and saw how we did that, it changes the world. It's company and life changing. Thank you, Carly. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to set a date for my talk.
Thank you. Fantastic. That's how to make it happen. Yes, you heard. Good. Dottie, you're up. Oh, and you're muted.
I also liked the your talk, how it was all geared toward them getting your anatomy book at the end. I liked how that was all. And my inspired action is to reread your anatomy book.
That is a great action. You'll read it with different eyes, having seen what we just did. The essential message of anatomy is the same as the talk, but is positioned slightly differently. But you'll see, you'll understand more about the talk too when you do that. It's many, many reasons that I asked you all to read anatomy, and it bears rereading. I've read it many times. I wrote the thing. Dottie, awesome. I learn every time I read it. I wrote it. Thank you, Dottie. Michelle, you're up.
My aha is that writing, writing down something to speak doesn't have to be a big difficult thing. So
thank you. I'm so glad to hear that. Yes.
Get something down. So my action would be to just put something down for that, and then also to read or reread the empowering story.
Yeah. These are great actions. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Michelle. Love it. Anne, you're up.
I think my aha today was in my talk, how simple that is, that you're simple but not simple, to teach three things.
Yes. Thank you for underlining that. That is so important. People go, here's that and that and that and that, and then it doesn't lead anywhere. And people go, wow, I learned so much. It doesn't go anywhere. So fantastic. And on the other hand, it's like, here's just three things. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Well, what's your inspired action?
To listen to your two talks.
You will hear with such different ears now. Thank you. Yes. Mary Kay, you're up.
My aha is one audience leads to another.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Life changing. I can't find any clients. Go speak. You'll find a bunch of people. Right? Thank you. Then you'll find a bunch more people from those people. And your inspired action.
My inspired action is I've actually created two talks. And the one that's more vulnerable, I'm going to I'm going to give it to two people tomorrow. Yeah, on a call tomorrow night.
Love it, Mary Kay. Love it. And just for everyone's purpose, I don't suggest you make two talks. One talk and have it work for you and then create another. But this is a higher level skill of creating the two of them, right? So you only need one central talk. That's all you need. Just want to mention that. And Mary Kay, love it. Love it. Love it. No flaw there. Just so that everybody's on track with like create that one. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Elaine, you're up.
Yeah. My aha is I think I have the tools I need now to tackle that little 10-minute talk. Mm-hmm. And then my inspired action is to make the date so I actually do it.
Fantastic. Love it. Clear, simple, direct, doable. Yes, and changes life-changing. Lindsay, are you able to speak where you are? And I think you might have said you won't. I know we won't see you. I don't know if you can speak or not. I can't remember. I'm sorry. All right. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much, everybody. I just, great call, because you are asking the questions and you are hearing at this level. Then I get to teach at this level, and that's super fun because that's what moves the needle. I heard you, I watched you getting it, and that makes my day. Have fun going out, building those talks. Have fun with that home play, and we'll see you for 5 powerful words to make sales easy in a couple of days. Thanks so much. Bye-bye for now.